Welcome to episode 18 of the I Brew My Own Coffee podcast, the podcast for people who care about coffee. I'm your host, Brian Sheely, and joining me today, as always, is my co-host, the third place winner of the Eastern Regional AeroPress Championship, the Vanna White of coffee on Instagram, Mr. Brian Beike. What's going on, Brian?
Hello. That is quite an introduction. I was wondering when you wanted to take the lead on this, if you had something set up, and that was quite extraordinary.
Boom. So, yeah, for those of you guys who don't know, Brian placed third in the Eastern Regional AeroPress Championships.
Yeah, that's kind of like in eighth grade when my C team basketball team won city. It's kind of the same.
But you got a claim. You've got a pretty rad trophy though for this whole thing, right?
I did. The cool thing about the AeroPress Championships is that you get a bronze, a silver, or a gold AeroPress, and I didn't know that until I got to Quill's Coffee and I saw them, and all of a sudden I went, "Oh, but I gotta get one of those."
Sweet. Well, the cool thing about that that bronze AeroPress, have you actually brewed in it? Or I mean, because no. I'd imagine that you could actually brew in it.
I've heard mixed things. I've heard some people say that it's just a painted thing and not to, but I thought I'd seen some people who have in theirs. You know, in the elite, I've got a card to swipe to go into the break room room. Those people, they've used. No, but I thought I'd seen people who have used theirs before, but I don't know.
I'd at least do it for like a photo or something like that. It's a pretty sweet trophy. Anyway, not to diverge here too far, but
that's pretty far. That's pretty far.
That's way far.
We're gonna have to. Let's just pretend all that didn't happen.
Yeah, none of this just happened.
But the Vanna White thing, that's true.
Yeah, man.
We'll keep that.
I've been thinking about that for a long time.
How I look beautiful in a dress after all these years.
All
right. Anyway.
Hands of beauty. Anyway, so we're going to start off this episode sort of like we started off the last episode, talking about what we're brewing, what kind of coffees that we've been brewing. It's been 2 weeks since we recorded last. And I'd imagine if you're anything like me, Brian, you have probably experienced a lot of coffee in that amount of time. So what's interesting?
So there's a shop that I really like in Australia called Assembly or Assembly Store or Assembly Carlton. They find different Australian roasters and they'll like cup selections or whatever, and whatever ones are, you know, delicious to them. They get them in and they repackage them in these beautiful tins. Okay. And I tried a coffee from them last year. It was small batches, Chile Lake 2, Ethiopia, and like the best Ethiopian I had all last year. And I had it from small batch in a bag through Cafe Box, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. However, this year I tried another coffee from them, and it was from Mecca Coffee in Australia. And it was an Ethiopian Dumirso, and I've asked both Assembly and Mecca, and I've still yet to get a confirmation if it's new crop or old crop, but it's the best Ethiopian I've had so far this year. When I say this year, I mean of fresh crop Ethiopian. I've still had some kind of like late crop coffees from Ethiopia that were still really, really flavorful. And this one just hits on like everything that I loved about the coffees last year. And in a lot of Ethiopians I've had so far this year, they don't have all that going on yet. So, yes, that Ethiopian from Mecca Coffee is awesome right now. So,
yeah, Ethiopia's been kind of hit or miss this season, it seems like. I mean, we can probably talk about that in another episode.
For sure.
You know, crop to crop, it's not always the same game, even if coffee's coming from exactly the same place.
Right.
Just sort of an interesting discussion all around. But yeah, and my pick actually this week is also an Ethiopian, although I didn't actually brew it over filter yet, which is sort of strange. Normally, you know, when I get a coffee in, I brew it on a V60 or whatever right off the bat. This coffee came in as a result of a recommendation from Cole McBride about an espresso that he had been using that was pulling really well. And so mine is the Ethiopia Lyotiraga from Velton's Coffee.
Nice.
Yeah. It is so good. It's like, I mean, most of the time when I try to describe a coffee that has a lot of citrus notes on it, you know, try to talk about lemon or just maybe generalize it just to citrus. But man, it's like seriously lime. It is, I mean, it's definitely, there's a prominent amount of lime in this coffee.
Now quickly, and you said you have not filtered it. So how have you been brewing it?
Yeah, so I've been pulling it as espresso. Okay. I threw it right in the hopper, and so far it's been, I've finished it. I saved, as we talked about last week, I saved 240 grams for the office. So I'll be actually brewing it as a Chemex next week sometime. But the rest of it, because they actually, Velton's comes in 16-ounce bags. And so the rest of it, I actually dedicated just for espresso. And I pulled the tar out of it, and it was really good.
Awesome.
A lot of lime. Right in the middle of it, though, it's like a super raspberry jello almost. It has that like really smooth sort of mouth feel, that kind of that body to it that almost kind of reminds you of jello. but it's good. It definitely one of my favorite coffees that I've had recently on espresso. And thanks to Cole for the recommendation big time.
Awesome.
Last week, or sorry, 2 weeks ago, I guess, we talked about office coffee, and a number of you guys actually commented back on some of the things that you like to do for coffee in the office. Thoe Keller actually talked about on Instagram how he brings his AeroPress to work. He's a freelancer, and so he brews up his AeroPress all the time just for himself for the most part, but every now and again, he'll make coffee for other people. And then a bunch of people talked about how they brew either cold brew in the morning and bring it with them, or Aaron Bakash actually talked about on Instagram how he'll brew a V60 every morning and pour it into his Stanley thermos, bring it with him. And that's just kind of always been a habit that he's had to do coffee in the office. Yeah, not a lot of people always have to brew coffee at the office. You know, if you've got your equipment at home, brew it there, take it with you. If you've got a thermos or some kind of a carafe that's easy to carry around, that's a great option as well. So
right. And there was a lot of interesting water discussion going on, be it on Twitter or a lot of that stuff got into the email as well. And I also kind of wanted to do some of the recap of that this week. However, I think there's just a lot of really great detail. And I think there's more things that either you've been testing or I've been testing, or more information that we have on the subject. And I think we'd rather prepare that and present it in a full podcast instead of just doing it as a recap before getting into a different topic.
Water is such a big part of making coffee. So it seems almost fitting that we would just dedicate an entire episode just to talking about water.
And it sounds dumb a lot of times, but you know, to be honest, I don't think about it that much. And I didn't think about it that much, until moving and having a lot of weird issues with brewing. And then, you know, talking again, you know, with Seth Mills and just thinking, you know, he had mentioned this before, and I feel like I didn't put a ton of thought to it, but you know, even as we try and describe, the experience with a cup of coffee to somebody, that's always something that like is going to be experienced differently from person to person and palate to palate. But especially with water differences, I can completely understand how it can throw somebody off for a reviewer or for just anyone talking about like this detailed description of a cup of coffee to someone who like whose water's completely different and the cups come up completely different. And we'll get into that on a later fuller episode and hopefully bring along somebody who knows a significant amount more about the subject than we do.
Yeah, exactly. We got some good feedback. So hopefully, you know, we'll have some good resources to bring into that discussion.
Right.
This week, however, we do want to talk about a subject that Brian, both you and I actually got pinged about this on Twitter, I think even today, from a few listeners who actually were interested in what is the best subscription coffee service.
Right.
And I thought we'd talk about that on this episode. It seems like something that is really becoming a popular thing, this whole idea of subscribing to a coffee service. And so we're just going to take the rest of this episode here and talk about subscription coffee and some of the options that we have out there and what might be the best option for you. Right. But at the end of this whole discussion, we really want you guys to chime in and tell us, what is it that you're looking for in a coffee subscription service? So definitely feel free to chime in about that. But Brian, you used to do a few subscription services that recently you've stopped doing. But where did you start out with subscription coffee?
Right. So I don't remember what I first did. I know that as I was getting into coffee, I had a coworker. This was really early on when I was first getting into specialty coffee. I think I went into some of this on my first podcast with Alex about, you know, Bent Tree Coffee and getting onto that. However, whoever put me onto that had also told me about Tonks, and they had said, hey, there's this place where like you can sign up and you get a trial bag for free, and you could check it out. I was still really fresh to brewing coffee, so like it was all right, but I was very unfamiliar with subscription and with roasters and with what Tonks was, and so like I passed on it. But as I continued to grow, I have done craft coffee and Misto Box and Mustache Coffee Club. Mustache came about, I think, probably just looking up subs, sub sandwiches. I was ordering Jimmy John's, and
they have really fast delivery.
They have really fast delivery. So I was looking up subscriptions, and I think I just stumbled across Mustache Coffee Club, and they had a half order offering at the time, 6 ounces of coffee. And Sean, the guy who founded it, he's an LA dude, and you know, he would go around looking for fresh coffee, and he said he'd go to shops, and like even the beans on their shelf like weren't super fresh coffees, and he was like, you know, I want something to provide fresh coffees. And so his thing was finding a local LA roaster and getting their coffees. And so when I was getting Mustache Coffee Club, you know, I was getting the coffees 3 days off roast. Wow. And it was awesome.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like I said, cause he was able to go like the day they roasted it and pick right. it up and pack it and ship it. I did both craft and Misto Box cause I didn't know. I just kind of was exploring a bit, and then I did let go of craft before Misto Box, and I was on Misto Box for a really long time, their sampler pack, and recently let go of that, but that was when I was moving, and I didn't want like all the addresses and all the switching and like not knowing when coffee's gonna arrive and just have random stuff land, and so I paused it for a bit so I could get life figured back out. Yeah. So those three were all pretty close to each other. I just kind of got in. Right. So I knew that I had like stuff coming in.
Yeah. I used to listen to a lot of tech podcasts, you know, years ago. And one of the things I'd always hear about, talked about on some of these other podcasts was Tonks Coffee. And I heard about them so much. I finally just said, all right, I'm going to get a sample and see how it is. And that was the first subscription coffee service I'd ever signed up for. And it was amazing to me that it showed up with this little square, you know, blurb about the region where it came from, and it was single origin, and it had showed up like, you know, just a few days after it was roasted and all that stuff. And I was pretty impressed with the whole thing. Just that was really early on into my experience with specialty coffee as well. And so I actually signed up, and I was on their service for quite a long time. I also joined up with Misto Box, and I did their sampler pack as well. Those are probably the only two subscription services that I had for the longest time. And there was some reasons why I switched off of Misto Box and Tonks both. Tonks, when it switched over to Blue Bottle, I kind of, you know, just decided to drop it. And then I found that for me, I was looking for coffees that were a little bit closer to the roast date than what the Misto Box sample pack could offer. So I stopped that as well. But, you know, as we're going to talk about in just a little bit here, I've since signed up again for Misto Box and their brand new subscription service, their single bag offering, as well as a few other different subscription services. And what do you think is like some of the biggest benefits of subscribe? Like, why would somebody, what do you think somebody would want to even subscribe to a coffee service and not just like go out and find coffee online and buy it periodically?
I, in my kind of growth and exploration, I did both, right? There are coffees I wanted to find, and there was coffees I wanted someone to find like for me, or to like for me to get that I wouldn't find. And I thought that for, you know, early on, I thought that was a good balance, that, you know, I'm still going out and looking at roasters and finding coffees that someone's recommending to me, or a friend's recommending, or people are saying is really good, and then ones that hit me by surprise. And some of my absolute favorite coffees I've ever had have been in these sampler boxes or in a subscription. And it was an offering that I never would have known about, or never would have selected, or from a roaster I had never heard of before.
Well, you and I try a lot of coffees, and if anybody follows us on Instagram, that's obviously apparent. But, you know, even with just a smaller network of people, there's only so many coffees that you and I and maybe a few other people can really try. And we're not going to get exposure to everything. And so I think you're right. Like, having somebody who has a little bit more, you know, experience, or who's able to look around sort of the market a little bit more, and who's able to sample these things as their job, that's a cool feature of some of these subscription services, just right, getting that kind of curation or that kind of breadth of experience over the whole marketplace.
Right.
It's kind of something that I think it would be hard for you to do, you know, you or I or anyone else really for that matter. It'd be hard for somebody to do just on their own, by going out and purchasing full bags of coffee from all kinds of different roasters out there.
Right.
Have you ever thought about, so I think it was you on Twitter one time, I thought I saw you talking about this. Have you ever actually thought about going subscription only?
Yeah.
Like going the route of actually, you know, not buying coffee anymore from directly from roasters, but just relying on your subscription alone.
Yep. It was definitely me. And to be honest, I don't know if it's because I've done a lot of exploring and like that was a phase I went through, right? I don't know. However, I have found several roasters that like I feel like their approach to just about any coffee and, you know, the trust I have for what they're bringing in and how they're going to care for it, and like its alignment with my palate, that I trust that I would be fine with whatever they selected. I mean, I don't know if you want me to go into like going ahead and saying like some of those places now, if it matters or not, but
you know, I don't know. There are so many out there, and I guess, you know, you're going to have your opinions about, you know, a specific roaster or a few roasters that you enjoy. I'm going to have my own opinions, and everybody else is going to have their own opinions too.
Right.
And I don't think it's, you know, the end all be all if you and I sort of discuss like what our favorites are.
Right.
But no, I think what you're saying is really interesting, because there are a whole bunch of different options that are out there for different kinds of subscription services. And I think it'd be good if we sat down and maybe talked about a few of those options here. But right, the first major option that sounds like you're talking about is the single roaster option. Like, this is one specific roaster, like you're talking about, that you develop a relationship with and that you trust, and that you'd be willing to go out and get coffee from on a regular basis at some interval.
Right. And what you find out is like, and it kind of makes sense. I don't think it's all of them, but like if you have a roaster and you sign up for like their subscription, like you're basically auto getting coffee from them. You're auto buying coffee from them. They know it and you know it. And a lot of times there's some sort of perk with that, right? Like the cost it ends up costing you per month might be like sans the shipping if you just decided to buy a coffee bag from them. every month, but not on a subscription. So like, those are things to keep in mind too. If you're trying to like kind of watch money is okay, we'll find something that like doesn't break the bank, but like still feeds your coffee at a frequency that you would like to have coffee in.
And a lot of these options that we're going to talk about, even multiple roaster options and some of these curated services, that's also what they offer too. Even if you were to like pay up front, even you could get some deeper discount. Whereas if you pay like month to month, the discount changes or whatever. But yeah, as a cost savings measure, subscription coffee actually can end up costing you a lot less than if you were to go out and buy individual bags all the time on your own.
Right. But yeah, just not every, but it's seemingly more and more that a lot of just whatever roasters that you like, they do have a subscription through them, yeah. You know, for a bag of coffee at a frequency or a couple of bags of coffee at a frequency or something like that. In some variety, it seems like more often than not, your roaster will have it.
And I actually just recently, I don't know if you have any specific roaster subscriptions yourself, but I actually recently signed up for Ruby's monthly subscription.
I just did it too.
Did? Good job.
I haven't gotten my first thing yet. I think I got it right before the cutoff, but
oh, cool.
I did too.
If you follow me on Instagram or whatever, you know that I'm sort of over the moon for Ruby, but yeah, it's so cool for them. What they just did, over the 4th of July holiday, they sent everybody a bag of the Gachatha AA, and then they also sent a full bag of the Ethiopia Kocher, not just a small 8-ounce bag, but the actual 12-ounce bag. And these are the Kocher specifically was a coffee that wasn't even available online yet. So as a subscriber, you were getting sort of some perks that you might not get if you were just going to their website.
And I know that I feel like other places do this too, but I know like back where I was in Cincinnati, just right across the river in Newport, Kentucky, there's a roaster called Carabello Coffee. And I know sometimes I would see them post like some leftover bags from their subscription, like in the store for a short period of time, because they bring in specific coffees that they roast for the subscription that are non-menu items.
Right.
And I imagine that other places do that too. So when you're part of the subscription, yeah, you do get coffees that maybe they're just in wholesale accounts and you don't really see them in online retail or in specific retail. So sometimes you do get something that is a little bit more inclusive.
Yeah. And if you're going to pick a specific roaster to have a subscription with, and obviously, as you've just found out, both of us are on Ruby's subscription service, but if you're going to pick a specific roaster, just make sure that it's a roaster that you enjoy, that you've had good results with, or you've liked their coffees that have come out. And then that's a great way of supporting a business that you really care about going forward. It kind of makes you feel just a little bit more invested, I guess, in the whole process. But you mentioned Mustache Coffee, which I had actually never heard of,
right.
Which is sort of the second type of option for a subscription service, which is coffee coming from a sort of a single specific area, I guess you could say. Mustache Coffee is based out of L.A.?
Right. I believe it's L.A. Now, like I said, it's been a while since I've kept tabs on them, so I don't know if they've grown since then, but sure. I'm going to assume it's still LA based.
Well, and also on that topic, LA Coffee Club is also sort of a similar subscription service, and they sample a bunch of different LA roasters, and then you subscribe and they'll send you different coffees from different roasters, but all the roasters will be located in the same city. If you find specifically that there are a lot of coffee roasters that you're interested in that might be located in a specific area like Los Angeles or Portland, or you can look up to see if there's a subscription service that actually would provide you coffees from that area at some rate. So that's kind of another option that you might have in picking a subscription service. Multiple roasters. So I think probably one of the biggest draws of a subscription service for me is being able to not only experience different coffees and different growing regions and processing methods and all of that stuff, but being able to sample all of that from multiple roasters across the U.S. or across, you know, whatever country you're in. And so there's a few subscription services, and you've already talked about one. You talked about Kraft. I've never actually had Kraft, but MistoBox was kind of the same way, though.
Right. A different selection of roasters, and right. We heard, I can't remember which came first, but Kristen and I are big Shark Tank fans, right. And I know that they were on Shark Tank, and their samplers were doing two different sizes, like a small, I think like 1.7 or 1.7 ounce bags of four coffees, just kind of, I guess, to get like a couple of tastes in, or like a cupping and a brew.
Sure.
And then the bigger sampler, which is what I'd always done, and you'd get four coffees. And I think they've recently changed the sizing, but it was a little bit more coffee than what you'd get in Kraft. I think the cost was a little different as well. But
you were getting four different roasters in every delivery, right?
Right.
So you're seeing sort of a lot of different regions and a lot of different roasters every month.
Right.
Or whatever period. I think Kraft is a month, and I think at least when I did the MistoBox sampler subscription, it was also every month.
Yeah, I think they have options for every 2 weeks or every month.
Yeah, but that was pretty cool. I mean, I got a lot of experience, or a lot of exposure, I guess, to a lot of different roasters that way. And I think a lot of times I get people asking the question, like, where do I start out with coffee? Like, people who are kind of just getting into specialty coffee or getting experience with coffee. And honestly, services like Kraft or MistoBox or some of these services that bring multiple roasters out to your doorstep every month or however often, I think some of those are my favorite recommendations for people. You know, if you really kind of want to experiment and get kind of a lay of the land and figure out what you enjoy and what you might not enjoy, some of these services that do multiple roasters every month are kind of a nice way of getting that kind of exposure.
Well, and it's interesting too, because aside, like, there's different ways you can look at it. Like, if somebody is unfamiliar with just how different regions can taste, right? Then they're usually getting a box that has a diversity of regions. You might get something from Papua New Guinea in the same box as you have something from Colombia, as you have like a natural processed Ethiopian, and then a Kenyan coffee or something.
As polar opposite as all
and
those
so,
can be,
like,
right?
Aside from like even seeing different roasters, you can see just a variety of what coffee can taste like that will, like, you know, span across all types of brewing devices, right? Whether you're in a French press or whether you are doing like a manual pour over, or you're just in your coffee machine of whatever variety, like it tries to reach you, and they're really good about guiding that. And then at the same time, you know, there's also the roaster there too. And you could always link back usually to the roaster and the coffee itself if you want to pick up the whole bag, yeah. Or if you want to just look at more about that roaster and their other offerings because you particularly enjoyed it, or and you want to see what else they have.
So you and I have both at least had a few samples of this particular company, but Angel's Cup is kind of an interesting twist on this exact same thing. Now, I haven't looked into it in a whole lot of detail, but the cool thing about Angel's Cup, I guess, is that, you know, they send you out four bags, four of these like sampler bags. And I believe most of the time it's just two coffees from two different roasters, but they're all totally blank. Like, they have no markings on them or no identification except for like a little code. And you're supposed to try each of the coffees, figure out sort of in a blind kind of way which ones you might enjoy, which ones you don't enjoy. And then after you've tried the coffee, then you go onto their app and actually figure out where these coffees came from, which roasters, which regions, and all that information about it. And then it kind of gives you an idea without sort of swaying you in one direction or another, kind of where your taste buds land with a particular roaster or a particular region. I don't know. I thought that was an interesting option.
Right. I also thought it was really neat. I think the application that goes along with the process, like, would be cool offered standalone, and not that I want to separate it, but even just to be able to use that tool, like, to document all of the coffees I drink, I think would be cleaner, more organized way of, you know, how I take notes on coffees in general.
Yeah. And so there's also these, other services kind of popping up nowadays where they're actually featuring some really not small roasters, but roasters that you've probably not heard of. Like they're not the huge name roasters that you really get a lot of exposure to. One of these services is actually Postal Bloom, which Brian and I have both had an opportunity to try. Who's the very first roaster that they came out with in that service? Was it
I think it was Mariposa.
Mariposa, yeah.
Roastery. And I had seen their packaging before, actually in a different subscription that like had the same format. I'm currently trying to look up what the name of that was, but I remember seeing their branding and thinking like, oh, that's really cool, and I had never checked them out before. It's really slick packaging, and then what it does is you get a couple of coffees of the roster of a particular roaster. Yep. The thing that's neat about that is because if you do want to try and figure out if a roaster suits you, like one, I guess, I don't want to say downside, but one thing that kind of is a hiccup in trying to figure out if a roaster is someone who has a profile that you like is if you don't sample them often, right? So if you don't buy coffees from them regularly, sure, or try some of their selections, or you don't have them come up in a subscription or something, then like a coffee that was great by them, like it may not necessarily be a good depiction of their roasting style. You may not be able to read all of that into it. So it's kind of neat when you have a service that gives you, and sometimes it's the roaster themselves that offer this, like Onyx, right? They have a little sampler pack you can get, and other places do this too. But again, like in Postal Bloom, they'll offer you several coffees of a roaster. And so you not only get to try a roaster you either have or have not had before, but you get to see several of their offerings. And that gives you a good feeling of, okay, well, you know, based on these three, I can kind of get a picture of, you know, the roasting style of this and of this this particular roaster. And again, that brings us back to what we were talking about whether or not you could go to subscription only, you know, on a particular roaster that you find enjoyment in what coffees they provide and how they approach them in the roasting process. And this is a really interesting way to figure out if some of those roasters would be a, you know, a possibility for that.
Have you actually seen their options? They send out little recipe cards as well about different recipes you can make to pair well with some of the coffees that they're actually...
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. I've never actually made any of their recipes, but it's kind of a neat option that I've never actually seen before, which is pretty cool. Plus, they also do a few sort of highlight videos about that roaster, so it's kind of like getting to know them and really more focused on a specific roaster and all the different offerings that they have. So that's sort of the third option. And the fourth option, I guess, in subscription-based specialty coffee is a little bit more focused on one particular coffee from one particular roaster at some interval. And for me, that seems to be the thing I enjoy doing most is getting one coffee from one particular roaster in a larger quantity, not these like sampler packs, but actually a sort of a, you know, I guess a 12-ounce bag or whatever.
Right.
And being able to focus, I guess, on that one coffee from that one roaster. And that's actually why I went back to going with Misto Box, because they just, you know, I guess maybe in the last, I don't know, like 6 to 8 months, maybe released their Misto Box One subscription service, where, you know, you go on their interface on their website and you fill out this really fancy survey about your preferences and the kind of coffee that you like, and then their curators basically find a coffee that's going to be right for you depending on the season and depending on what's tasting good out there, and then they give you a full 12-ounce bag at whatever frequency you want. So it's not just monthly, but it's, you know, if you want a new bag every week, I mean, you could sign up for that. And they also have options there where you can pay in advance and save like 20% off of your entire bill or something. But that's, for me personally, that's been the option that I've enjoyed probably the most, is just getting one coffee, focusing on that one roaster and brewing it however many ways I can think of. Plus, the benefit of that service is the coffee's actually coming to you directly from the roaster itself, not that is not getting passed through a redistribution site where they're actually having to take all the coffee, portion it out into the smaller bags, and then turn around and box it back to you. So you get the coffee really fresh, and then, you know, in a larger quantity than you might otherwise. So that's actually been the service I've enjoyed. But you got me turned on to a subscription service out of, I guess, what, Norway?
Yes.
What's that all about?
So Cafe Box, man, I, and again, don't necessarily remember the way I stumbled upon it, but last year, and some people might criticize me for this, but I just had found an interest in kind of exploring the approach that like non-US roasters did to coffee. And it's interesting too, like sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes if I look up, you know, like auction lots and stuff like that of regions, like, you know, you see some of these lots go to countries that are not in the US, or places not in the US, like some big lots, right? And so you see that there are other places that are getting really good coffees. And it just kind of piqued my interest a bit. And then just kind of being interested, yeah, in like the Nordic approach to coffee. Not necessarily that I wanted like the lightest coffee. I just was intrigued by the concept.
Well, there is a notable difference. I mean, I've only been subscribed to Coffee Box for a while. But I mean, even in the amount of time I've been experiencing Nordic roasted coffees, it is quite a bit different. I mean,
right.
Just from U.S. profiles in general.
Right. To me, what I hear a lot of people say about, like, maybe they are interested also in, like, Nordic coffees, but it's kind of not approachable because it's expensive to get it shipped. And yeah. I don't know how this service does it, but it's, like, really cost efficient to get in a bag of coffee from who knows, like, where, right? And some really great named roasters, and even lately, like some I haven't had before, which has been awesome. And, you know, for a Nordic coffee, like the delay in getting to you isn't as big of a deal. You know, a lot of times those coffees have a little bit more rest time. And when I mean rest time, if anyone is not familiar with that, sometimes coffee, it does best if you wait several days before you start brewing it.
After it's roasted,
right.
Right.
And because of how light some of these coffees are roasted, sometimes they benefit for having a little bit extra time to, you know, be in their peak time for brewing. And that's handy with this service, because the shipping takes a little bit longer, but I'm still getting my coffees nine to 11 days off roast. That's like ready to get into it. And these are usually like 8 ounce bags. Lately, what he's been doing is like maybe a roaster, and he's been giving out two coffees, like 4 ounces of each, which has been really cool. Cause again, you don't always get to experience these roasters. At least for somebody who is on the service in the US. And that's, I'm speaking as somebody in the US on the service. You know, someone in other countries, it benefits them probably in a completely different way, right? Like someone in Norway is obviously getting still a great service the way that you're describing it. A new roaster every delivery. Just to them, it is somewhat localized. But yeah, so we jumped onto this, and some really great name roasters. And it's just been amazing. It's been my favorite coffee subscription that I've been on. And I just feel like I learned so much from it. Tyler does a great job of, I feel like I don't even fully know. Maybe we should have him on the podcast. Fully know,
yeah.
You know what all he goes into to select these coffees. It's a little ominous, but at the same time, like, finds ridiculously good coffees. And, I mean, we've had Tim Winnebo and Kopi and
Supreme
Coffee Collective
Roastworks.
And yeah, Supreme Roastworks, yep. JQ, I don't really know.
La Cabra.
I mean,
yeah.
A small batch. I mean, tons of stuff. I don't mean to kind of go on and on about it, but like definitely a good deal for checking that out. But even kind of going, let me go back too for just since we're on that subject, like it's been neat because some of the, Nordic Roasters themselves have good coffee subscription services. Like Coffee Collective, they have an interesting one where they send you, I think for getting the subscription, shipping's included. And it's 3 bags of coffee, if I recall correctly. It's 2 of one coffee, like one specific coffee, and then 1 bag of another, which is kind of weird to me at first. However, like if I had a friend who was interested in also being a part of it, right, they can get whatever bag is a double, and it kind of saves cost even a little bit more on that, and it makes it a little bit more affordable. But just speaking as another out of the U.S. subscription for someone in the U.S., that's another option that I've seen people do that's kind of neat.
Oh, we kind of alluded to it on our last episode, too, about office coffee. You know, some of these options that we're talking about here would actually work really nicely if you were going to maybe start brewing more coffee for other folks at your office. There was, you know, a couple of people chimed in about how they also, you know, brew sort of in larger batches for folks around their workplace as well. So, you know, maybe some of these options would be good just to supplement like what you're brewing even in the workplace. So
right.
Kind of spread it around. You know, we talked briefly and we're almost out of time here, but one of the great benefits I think of a lot of these subscription services is the curation, you know, and having somebody there who you trust, who you put a lot of stock in, like Tyler, you mentioned, with Cafe Box, being able to go off and look and say, oh, here's some of the Nordic roasters that you might be interested in, and then curating sort of what you're going to have at that time. The curators over at Misto Box, the people who are pulling in stuff for Angel's Cup or LA Coffee Club or all these other things that we've mentioned. And then recently there's been this new company, I guess, or somewhat new, roasters.co, which is sort of, I don't know, in a way is kind of tailoring to specific curators more than anything else. I mean, they're pulling in different coffees, different offerings, but kind of you're almost signing up with a specific curator that you actually know and trust, which is kind of a neat idea, I guess. If you find somebody online that you listen to for a lot of coffee advice, and they're actually also a curator on this site, you can have them select specifically coffees for you to try. And not as a ridiculous plug here, but Mr. Bikey is also one of those curators, which is kind of cool,
right?
So if you wanted, say, to have Brian pick specific coffees for you, that's an option. And that's kind of the benefit of curation in general. You develop this relationship with somebody to choose coffees for you. And that would never happen, I guess, if you were just going out and searching for all these coffees right. on your own.
Well, and roasters.co itself is a website too. Like, aside from the curation, it's just kind of like what I call a one-stop shop for buying options. And like Misto Box has a website formed now, like similarly for the roasters that they get in. And then even sites like gocoffeego.com, I think they have a subscription through there, and they have a whole huge arsenal of roasters that are all a part of this. And like, there's different categories you could browse through, whether it be roast profile, or maybe you want a geisha, or maybe you want a decaf, and like, it'll kind of like filter those things out for you. And I haven't looked at the subscription service via that, but sometimes even like, I know this is kind of stepping away from the subject a little bit, but like a place where you can kind of explore other, like a mass of roasters in one place.
Sure.
Instead of looking on all the sites.
It's creating a library almost of, or a catalog, I guess, of roasters and their offerings. And even if they're not currently roasting those specific coffees, like being able to look and see like, you know, oh, well, what have they had historically in the past? Those kinds of resources, I think, are really valuable for people who are looking for maybe a specific coffee or looking for a specific roaster to maybe buy from.
Right. And to be honest, like, I mean, this might sound all way up in the clouds or whatever, but really the main benefit that comes from a subscription is like, and we haven't necessarily hit on this, is that like coffee is going to be on its way to you without you having to do something. The reason I bring that up is because that's the main separation between subscribing somewhere and asking for somebody's advice on coffee. And there's nothing wrong with either one, But, you know, people would ask you or they'd ask me or I'll ask somebody online. Like when you did and Cole recommended the espresso, like no one sent you that espresso just because like you're part of a subscription. You had to ask for recommendation. And there's nothing wrong with recommendation versus subscription. Some of those two things collide. I have people who ask me about coffees all the time, and I'll suggest through a whole list of roasters that are not limited to one specific search site. The greatest thing that comes from a subscription is just trusting that somebody is going to be providing you with coffee without you having to take the time out to do that. So there's a level of trust there. And then there's also a level of just like you've got it set up so that it just happens, right? I think you know of, I don't want to mention his full name in case he would have a problem with it, but a guy that we follow on Instagram, Kyle, he's actually doing this, I think. I mean, I think he's on Ruby subscription. He's on Counterculture subscription. And I don't know if he does that because he's just busy and doesn't have time to search. You and I are, you know, freaks, right? We're always like, what's new? What's out? Who has this? Who has that? And I mean, to be honest, though, that's something that would be cool to incorporate into our site is to talk about like when roasters have new things that are out, you know, it would be cool to have some feature like it. But aside from that, you know, some people don't have the time. They don't have time to browse. Like they don't have a bookmark list of all these roasters pages they want to check every night to see if anything's new. They don't follow all the social media plugs to like see when something's new. They're just aren't up to date on it all the time. They don't have the time for it, but they want good coffee to come in and they don't want to have to go to their shop. Not that there's a problem going to their shop and buying a bag. They just want to know that it's that they have somebody they trust in roasting or trust in selecting a roast that's going to arrive to them. And I think that's probably one of the biggest benefits from it.
Yeah. And we've talked about a lot of benefits, but I think as we close up the episode here, you know, what is it that you specifically, for those of you who are listening, what are you looking for in a subscription? And we'd love to hear back from you, you know, either on our Instagram page or over Twitter or whatever. You know, what are you looking for in a subscription? Are you looking for a lot of coffee at some rate? Or are you looking for, you know, an overall selection of different roasters? Or are you looking for, you know, maybe a specific roaster that you just really love and trust, or you know, or even this curation idea? Are you just really wanting to trust in what somebody is recommending to you and selecting for you? Anyway, love to hear back from everybody who's listening.
Yeah, and we had a lot of people chime in both on Instagram and on Twitter and on the email. They shot lines to your particular feeds and mine, and also just on the I Brew My Own Coffee channels. And one thing that I think we both talked about, it would be great if you guys hashtagged IBMOC talk. So I Brew My Own Coffee Talk, but abbreviated, you know, shortly. So IBMOC talk. That way you'd be able to see it and I'd be able to see it no matter what the feeds are. We'd be able to kind of find it and see when that's being discussed. It's a good way that we can do a talk back and be able to not, you know, miss those things kind of going here and there.
If you want to find out more information about I Brew My Own Coffee, you can visit us online at ibrewmyowncoffee.com. We are available on Instagram at ibrewmyowncoffee. We're on Twitter at brewmyowncoffee. For whatever reason, Twitter's username length is a little silly, so we're brewmyowncoffee there. And if you want to send us an email, visit our website at ibrewmyowncoffee.com and click the contact us link at the top of the page. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll catch you on the flip side.
Good night, everybody.